Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study on the Eagle Radio Network. I have with me tonight Anne. She's joining us. Welcome, Anne.
Hello from Texas. Glad to be here.
And Megan and Karen is back with us, too. So welcome, Megan and Karen.
Thank you. And hello, everyone.
Hello.
And tonight, and over the, next week or two or however long we go, we're going to talk about women and their role as wives and also their positions in the body and what that looks like and what that means. And I hope it will be something that will help get a subject that has been so poorly divided over centuries, rightly divided, so that we can go forward as we ought in Christ Jesus as women. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted Anne to join us, because she has a lot that she's learned over the years on this subject as a woman under obedience to her husband, but also as a member of the body of Christ. And I think she'll be able to, I know she'll be able to share and shed some clarity on this subject. So I want to invite everybody, if you have questions as we go along, don't start out with the question if you don't mind, but as we go along, if you have particular questions that you would like to ask, put them in the chat, and if we don't get to them tonight, we'll seek to get to them next week. You could also email questions to any one of the four of us if you like, and we'll try to answer some of the questions we have as women over the next couple weeks as we look at what the Word says and at the examples of women who have been godly women that the Lord has given us in His Word. So, I don't know if any of you all have anything to say before we get Karen starting to read or not, but I open the floor to you guys.
Well, I think I don't really have anything to add to what you said, so why don't we let Karen start reading?
And Karen is going to read three scriptures, because this isn't going to be a Bible study where we look at verse by verse, but it's going to be more a subject Bible study. So she's going to start off, and she's going to go back over Ephesians 5, I think it's 22, through, let me just find it here, 22 through 24, and then she's going to go to 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, and she's going to finish it up with Titus 3 through 5 for us, and then we'll begin to discuss what we've read. So, Karen, it's all yours.
Okay, Ephesians 5, 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And next is 1 Peter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. And the last scripture is Titus 2:3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
I wanted to end with the Titus scripture. One thing that's very clear in all three of these is women are to be in subjection to their own husbands. It's a particular relationship and a particular obedience in a marriage. In Titus, you see where the commandment is first to the aged women and then to them to then teach the younger women to do what we read or what we heard Karen read in Ephesians and in 1 Peter. So with that, I'd like to open it up because what does it mean to be in subjection? And what does it not mean? Which I think is maybe at times the more important point. So what does it mean to be in subjection? I don't know if either any of you ladies would like to take the lead on that one. Submitting, it is the word. Wives, submit yourselves as unto the Lord. I particularly like the Ephesians scripture because it shows that the relationship, a right relationship between a husband and a wife, is a picture for the world of a right relationship between Christ and his church, the body. And it's actually a high calling for a woman to walk out her faith in a manner that is visible through that relationship and that walking out of her faith in submission to her husband. So I open up the discussion amongst you ladies on this subject.
Can I put forward Rick's description?
Oh, yes, please.
Rick talks about marriage as being like him driving a truck, the truck being his family, and his wife as his helpmeet being the side mirrors, you know, the side mirrors that help you to see behind you, or for that matter, the rearview mirror, which give you a different perspective on the road. He's driving, he's going forwards, he has a certain amount of perspective, but his wife, as his helpmeet, he needs to be able to rely on her that she gives him an undistorted image, if you will, or view or information and what have you, that's not distorted so that, because that shows a different perspective. It shows what's behind in using the truck as the example. And so he's still the one who drives the car. He's the one who decides where it's going to go and whether to turn or hit the gas or the brakes or what have you. But he does so with the input of the mirrors.
And one thing that he was saying when he shared this with us, because he particularly talked about when he's pulling his trailer. And pulling a trailer, you need a lot more perspective than you do when you're just driving along in your truck or your car. And he said, you know, a man can take and smash the dang mirrors because he doesn't like what they're telling him. And if he does that, he's headed for an accident. But a man who will not obey his wife, but will hear her and take the information she gives to and discern it and bring clarity to the situation is in a much safer place and can much better drive that family, as Megan said, in safety.
And that is definitely the truth. I was looking up subjection and submit, which turn out to be both the same word in the Greek. And it comes down to it means obey.
Yeah.
And there's a long list of definitions, and all of them basically mean the same thing, but to obey. But I found one very interesting thing. It's to submit self unto. It is a decision you make to submit yourself to your husband. It's the decision you make to follow God's plan, and that the man is the head of the house, and the woman is next in authority under that. But she submits to that of her own free will. It's not something you're forced to do. It's a decision you make. Only you can make it. And you can have somebody browbeating you or preaching at you. You have to do this. You have to submit. It's a decision you make to submit to your husband. And I think that's an important point. Each of us have to make that decision, and sometimes every day. We're going to submit. He is our head put there by Jesus Christ, and that we are going to obey. But like they said, we are entitled to an opinion. God gave us an opinion, and we, as a helpmeet, and as part of that decision to submit, should speak out. He will still be ultimately responsible for the whatever happens. But if you keep your mouth shut, as a lot of churches teach you, then if things go wrong, it's on you also. And did I make that clear?
Yes, and it is an important point that you make, that it is an act of your own will.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize that it is contrary to your nature is just a truth, but you are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to be subject to your nature. You have, through the blood of the Lamb, have been given freedom to actually choose God's way. And to perform
right.
it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But, you know, when you were talking, it made me think about, you know, when God took a rib out of Adam and formed Eve to be a helpmeet. Now, a helpmeet isn't just the person who cooks, cleans, and serves you coffee. A helpmeet is actually somebody who adds to you, which is what we've been talking about when Megan gave Rick's analogy of driving his family, and a good wife then giving him information that aids him. And you know, when you think about it, because I know I was talking to somebody, oh gosh, a couple weeks ago, and asked him how they were doing, and their husband drove one day, I know, a very long time. And they asked the husband, was he okay? And they knew their husband. They knew the things that warred against him physically. And his answer was, I've taken it up with the Lord, and I am okay. And she mm-hmm. received that answer. So she wasn't yeah. wrong in making sure that he was okay to make this long drive into the night to get him home. But she then did what was right when he gave an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Her answer was also, well, then I'll just stay awake and keep you company. And he said, that's exactly what I need. That's a good help me.
Yeah. You know, when you were talking about help me and allowing, that allows the husband to do what he needs to do. And I know we weren't going to go into it tonight, but the Proverbs scripture on the virtuous woman. She did what was necessary to help him do his job. He didn't have to be concerned about what was happening happening at the home front. He could go do his job as an elder in that community only because she was a helpmeet. She did what she was required to do.
Yeah, she did her job.
Right.
Well, not to build you up, Anne, but I know Davey has said he could not do what he did if you weren't doing what you did. So praise God, it's it's a good example.
Amen.
Let's move on.
Okay, well, the other side of it is that we really, that I think is the part that is very wrongly divided. And I guess before I say that, the one thing that we had spoken about earlier is one thing about submitting is you don't judge. So in the scenario I was saying about the young woman and her husband, she put out a question which was valid, but then she did not judge his answer. She accepted his answer. And in her natural self and in times past, she would have judged it and she wouldn't have been a helpmeet. She would have been a tear downer. But she did right. And we were talking earlier because judgment is natural. And we all judge. We make judgments. But just because you have a judgment or a thought doesn't mean you have to agree with it and own it, so to speak. And Megan had a great scripture on that, which is, it was chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians, verse 5. Megan, if you wanted to read it.
It says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ."
And that's really what, if a marriage, a husband and wife are to be a picture of Christ and his church, well, in Christ Jesus, we have to, cast down everything that is in disagreement with him. And so just because you have, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, that means we have thoughts that are not in obedience to Christ. And we have them in our relationship with our husband or with for me, I don't have a husband, so it's not going to be in that relationship. But it's what we do with it that brings us into obedience to the Word of God, not that we have them.
It's not a sin to have a thought come into your head that would be judgment. It's a sin with what you do with it.
Yes.
You know, if you dwell on it and
agree with it,
then that becomes a sin. But the thought itself is not a sin. You just kick it out. You don't have to agree.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to yell at it and tell it to get out.
And have had to do that before.
Yeah, me too. But the other part is, and the part that is important for us to learn is, what voice do we have that doesn't transgress the Word of God, doesn't blaspheme the Word of God? And that's what I think has been sorely lacking oftentimes in the dividing of the relationship that a wife has unto her husband and her service to him. And that's the one that I really wanted to take a look at. So I know there's women here that have experience with that. And I'd like to open it up for you to share. I know, Anne, that you minister to young women who are learning the right division of submission and yet nevertheless having a voice that shouldn't be subdued, so to speak, or quieted completely. There's voices to be quieted.
Or silence. Well, there's definitely voices to be quieted, but it's just so important to know that God is not a respecter of persons. Yes, men are in the headship, men are in the leadership, and we are to follow, we are to obey, just in the military. But we can have an opinion, we can have a voice, and our husbands should be open to listen to our opinions. They don't always have to agree, because a lot of times we're wrong, but sometimes we're right. But you need to be able to speak out and say, maybe we should do it this way. Or what do you think about this idea? You know, don't go in and say, I think we need to do it this way. No, be submissive. Go in quietly and say, this is what I think. And what do you think? And whatever decision he makes then, after listening to you, it's still ultimately his responsibility. But by you not speaking out, you're taking some of that responsibility on yourselves. And I think I've said some of that in the beginning too, but I can't say it enough. Because women have been so put down in quote-unquote Christianity in the churches for many, many, many years, for centuries really, that they're afraid to speak out because then they would be afraid they're not being submissive, and that's not the case at all.
You know, there's the scripture where after Isaac's born and Sarah comes to Abraham, and I'm going to find it here for us. I thought I had it marked, but I think it is chapter 21 of Genesis. And Sarah, starting with verse 9, saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. So she saw Ishmael mocking. And wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Now, the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of the bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And the Lord goes on and speaks to Abraham about Ishmael. But you see, Abraham did not submit to Sarah. But he did submit to the Lord, and the Lord was in agreement with Sarah. And that's the thing. It's not a man obeying his wife. But if the wife brings that which is true and he before the Lord agrees, then you've done a good thing. And as Anne was saying, had Sarah not said that, it wasn't something Abraham was going to do naturally, because Ishmael was his son. But it was of the Lord that he did that. And Sarah gave voice to it, and God gave the amen, so to speak, and Abraham obeyed God. And that's the thing.
If the husband does what the wife has suggested, doesn't mean he's obeying her. It means he's listening to the Lord and obeying him. Yeah. And the Lord just used his wife to give him the information he needed.
Yeah.
So it all comes down to he's not submitting to the wife if he agrees with her. But if she's giving information that the Lord has given her to share, then he's obeying the Lord.
And the other side of that is if that wife is not listening to the Lord and putting out something for her husband to hear and hears the Lord but doesn't put it forth, then she's not helping her husband. She is not doing what the Lord, being used by the Lord for what he wants her to do. And, you know, a lot of times, that is where I was until I learned some. I'm still learning. But I've learned some this summer that I need to speak out because my experience is I was always one that was taught in the church to just be quiet, let your husband be the person that talks and, you know, makes all the decisions, and you just deal with it. Now, that's the way I was taught. So it was an amazing revelation to me, which is shouldn't have been, but that's the way it was, that I learned this. And I praise the Lord for having people show me that that's what I was doing, because I was not seeing it. But you have to have that dividing line of you have a voice and you can say the things that are on your mind. You don't have to be like that woman in Proverbs that's the brawling woman in a wide house. You can talk to your husband about it, leave it with him, and pray about it, and whatever happens, happens, but then you have done your part. And I was finding that I was not doing my part in that. So I was not being obedient to the Lord. I was, many times the Lord told me to say something, and I would stop it right about at my bottom of my throat, and it wouldn't come out. And that was wrong, and I found that that was wrong, and I am working on correcting that. I have a long way to go, but I, at least I have a starting point now.
Well, praise the Lord. That's an excellent testimony. But one thing that was hitting me when you were talking, a lot of times when we keep our mouths shut, instead of saying what we believe we should, then we open ourselves to judging our husbands for not doing what we think he should, even though we haven't said anything. And that just opens us up to judgment, which we should never do. And sometimes we also, when they don't take our advice, we look at them with judgment too. And that's something we need to definitely work against. We have to not allow judgment to enter in. But a lot of times, in women who have felt the Lord should told them to tell their husband something to do or whatever, and the husband didn't do that because he wasn't hearing it from the Lord. He should have heard it from you. And then they sit back in judgment and say, oh, ha, ha, so he thinks he's so great. Who's he to be my head? So we have to be very, very careful of the judgment coming in there.
Well, and the beautiful thing about Karen's testimony, and I know Charlie will agree with this, until she began to speak, she wasn't a good helpmeet. Since she has begun to speak and express herself, Charlie now has that information, like those side mirrors, that are helpful to him. And it's been a blessing to both of them that she has begun to find her voice. And that isn't to say that, and no offense, Karen, but everything you say isn't like, thus saith the Lord or something, but you're a person, and Charlie needs to know the person that he's married to. How else is he going to be able to rightly minister to you in all things? And so you're opening up and sharing is opens up Charlie's understanding so he can stand better in the position he has in that household. And sometimes, what's that?
Karen's being a blessing to Charlie by doing that.
She's being a helpmeet. I know sometimes a woman brings the word of God to a husband. If he receives it, he's blessed. If he doesn't, like you were saying, Ann, it's she is not responsible now. If she withholds it, then she is responsible. And Karen gave testimony of that too. So, you know, when it says, you know, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, it really is how we walk out our obedience to Christ, and that is, here we are, and we express ourselves, but we trust the Lord to rightly divide it, not to kowtow to our thinking, but we submit to then his judgment, so to speak, and his ways, and actually we then are profited also. But I know it's spoken a lot in the services, and Megan, you actually talked about it with your child who says, Lord, bless this day or whatever, and you asked him what he meant, and he goes, well, that the Lord would bless what I'm doing. Well, no, we make our requests known unto the Lord, but then we trust him with it. and we can trust him with even that which we bring to our husbands. Megan, you have a testimony about that with Steve, where you, Steve tells it, where you were so thankful about this, that, and the other thing with Steve, and he said, don't you put your trust in me, because, you know, you'll set me up for the fall. You put your trust in the Lord.
Yeah, there are a few things that Steve has said over the years that have stuck with me, and changed the way that I've thought on things. And that was certainly one of the first ones where he said that, where, 'cause, you know, my dad had left, my folks had got divorced and whatever, and I was so pleased with that Steve had not had a girlfriend or any sort of thing like that for 10 years that perhaps, you know, he would be faithful to me. And his comment, as you said, was, do not trust me because you set me up for a fall. Rather trust the Lord to keep me for you. And so that is where I have chosen to stand. And for those who didn't listen on Sunday, Steve read from Jeremiah 17 where it talks about, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. And the opposite is, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. And I, of course, at that time did not know that, but it's a good and true thing, you know.
Well, I wanted to bring up Sarah because, you know, it's easy for women to be sitting out here listening and thinking, yeah, but. And, you know, one of the first things we know about Sarah is when they were getting ready to go into the land of Egypt, and Sarah was beautiful, and Abraham said to her, look, they're going to look at you, and they're going to kill me so they can take you if they know you're my wife. So say you're my sister, that I might be kept for your sake. And so she did. And she was taken into two households that we know of, into Pharaoh's household, and then later, and it was after Sodom and Gomorrah, which was after, she was like 90 years old at this point, and she's still beautiful, and she's still saying this to offer Abraham protection. Now, what woman amongst us would easily be willing to obey our husbands in that without judgment? And yet Sarah did it. And the Lord was magnified because both times she was kept and Pharaoh and Abimelech and their households were cursed. Pharaoh sent Abraham away. Abimelech repented. Abraham prayed for him and asked him to stay in that land. Because with Abraham was the blessings of God. And so both times, through Sarah doing something that was remarkable in obedience to Abraham, the Lord was magnified. He was made evident. He was manifest that Abraham and Sarah served the one true God. And so when it says there in Peter, what does it say? It says, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as you do well, ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. So, you know, if we want to be her daughters, which is like saying we're children of Abraham, then we need to do likewise. The Lord has given her as an example to us that should help us to gird up the loins of our mind and cast down every high thing that exalts itself against God. And it's remarkable what Sarah did in the first place, leaving with Abraham her home and her people and going into a land that didn't know God and where they were just pilgrims the whole time. They never inherited the land. It came through Joshua, which was hundreds of years later. And yet, they walked it out. And she's given us an example to us.
There are so many examples going through the scriptures of women who were doing exactly what God called them to do. And we should read those women, read about those women, learn from them. There's so much there if you only take the time to look. And it's a blessing that the Lord has made it available to us to use as examples in our walk with the Lord. So don't just think because they're in the Old Testament, they can't be an example for us. There are examples that the Lord has given us to use. And I know we plan on going through and talk about some of the other women in the scriptures to use as examples in our walks with the Lord. And we'll be getting to those in the next few weeks.
So. Well, one that I think is worth looking at right tonight would be Hannah, because we see Hannah in the first two chapters of 1 Samuel, and most of, not all of us know that Hannah was the mother of Samuel, who was a prophet in Israel. And what Hannah did was she laid out her complaint before the Lord of being childless. And she was downcast at this time. And she vowed a vow to the Lord that if he would give her a child, she would give him back to him, the Lord, all the days of his life. And, of course, that's exactly what occurred. And in there, if you'll go back and read it, you can see that the place that her husband had in this, because he, as a man and as the head of that household, as her husband, had a right to undo that vow. And yet he did not. He was actually the one that gave the second witness, so to speak, to that vow. And Hannah, at her husband's approval, took Samuel when he was weaned, and I don't know what age that was, but he was young, and brought him to Eli the priest, and she saw him once a year when she made a new coat and they went up to the sacrifice. And she kept her vow, but that vow was kept through her husband, I think his name was Elkanah, through his agreement with it. And the Lord blessed Samuel and blessed them. She had, I think, five other children after that. You can go and check me, but I believe it was five. And there you see a woman who trusts the Lord, brought her complaint, and I think that's the word that is used, unto him. And as soon as she received her answer, her countenance changed. She believed God. And her husband stood in agreement with her, and therefore she performed her vow. And gosh, Samuel was a faithful servant of God in his lifetime, throughout his life, from a very early age. What a mighty fruit. But you see there a woman who kept her word, but was also in submission unto her husband, unto her own husband. It's a beautiful story, and a true one, and a remarkable one.
And there are so many like that throughout the scriptures that we should be availing ourselves of studying. And I'm not sure, and maybe I missed it, did you make it clear that she made the vow, but as her husband being her head, he could disallow that?
Correct.
He could take that vow off, you know, she would not be responsible if he said, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
It was his decision to let that vow stand and stand with her. And that's a big praise of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if anybody does have questions, please ask them, because this is a subject that we all wrestle with. And we want to get it right, because it will stop the mouths of the gainsayers, for one. And God doesn't call women to be, you know, that word meek is one that is led of the Spirit, not that is a doormat. And we want to get that one right. It's a matter of where we trust the Lord and walk in obedience to Him, and part of that walk is walked out through obedience to our own husbands. And so we want to get this subject right. If you have any questions or examples that you would like answered, we need to hear them so that we can prayerfully give a right answer, that we be built up and become the women that God has called us to be. Yeah, Gail has a bunch of them in here. One that I know is one of my favorites is Esther, that we'll look at. Deborah, who was a judge of Israel. She was the wife of a man, so she was under his authority. She was a woman who went to war. Like I said, she was the judge of Israel for a period. So, women are called to be mighty in the Lord, but they cannot be mighty in the Lord if they do not submit to their own husbands.
Amen.
So, and what you're saying there about Deborah is that she was a married woman who submitted to her own husband and yet judged the entire nation of Israel, but was subject to her own husband.
Right.
So she was over every other man in Israel, but not her own husband.
Right. So we're going to enjoy looking at many women over the next couple of weeks, and hopefully we'll get a better handle on this subject, and it'll open up opportunities for each of us to speak, and most if not all of us are, you know, in discipleship relationships. So let's get this one right, and let's lay some things out there so we can get answers. Amen.
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 So, Gail's put a whole bunch of people out there tonight, you know, and I'm not saying everybody has to go and read all of these, but these are the people that we should already be familiar with and go back and refamiliarize yourself with these women so that as the word is divided, you have a basis and a knowledge of the scripture with which to receive it.
Okay. Have there been any questions in the chat?
No, don't believe so. So I hope that's a beginning that will be a blessing to you all and get your juices rolling, so to speak, that you might be good helpmeets and daughters of Sarah as we go forward. So we will look forward to seeing everybody up next week. And may the Lord bless you, and may you not be slothful in familiarizing yourselves this week with some of these women that we will be looking at. So may the Lord bless all of you.
Amen. It was a pleasure to be here tonight. And it would not hurt, ladies, to go to the scriptures that Karen started off with. Familiarize yourself with those. And if you have any questions on it, don't hesitate to get with one of us or all of us. And we can discuss it further. So thank you for having me, Robin.
Oh, and it was a blessing, and I hope you can join us throughout this conversation. So good night, and we'll see you next week.